Psalm 119, starting in verse 9. How can a young man keep his way pure? By guarding it according to your word. With my whole heart I seek you. Let me not wander from your commandments. I have stored up your word in my heart, that I might not sin against you. Blessed are you, O Lord. Teach me your statutes. With my lips I declare all the rules of your mouth. In the way of your testimonies I delight, as much as in all riches. I will meditate on your precepts, and I will fix my eyes on your ways. I will delight in your statutes. I will not forget your word. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Lord, I pray that you would speak through me today, that I would delight as I'm up here, that I would change hearts tonight, that you would change hearts tonight through me, Lord, that I'd be a good tool for your ways, Lord. I pray for the hearts would change today, Lord. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. Please be seated. The psalmist. Although we don't know who he is, we can deduce based off the commentaries that I've read that he is an older person bestowing wisdom to younger Christians, meaning that wisdom he teaches can still be applicable to any Christian, regardless of age. So none of y'all have an excuse to doze off during this service, all right? Verse 9, first line, that's a doozy, asks us, how can a young man keep his way pure? The word pure in the original Hebrew is zachach, meaning to be clean or justified. We'll get to justified later. The word your way, it's supposed to be your way, in the original Hebrew is ochrach. Here means path. Isn't Hebrew just such a pretty language? All that to say, based off the text, the psalmist compares our judgment through life to a pathway or road. This is the last four lines of the poem, The Road Not Taken, by Robert Frost. Somewhere ages and ages hence, two roads diverged in a wood, and I took the one less traveled by, and that has made all the difference. How we keep our paths justified is answered immediately later in verse 9, God's word. God's word is the answer. It's how we keep our way pure. My main point, God's word restores your way. Why? Why should we diligently study God's word? As verse 9 says, why should our paths be justified and clean? Well, in case you're new to Christianity, or just kicking the tire of this whole religion business, we as Christians believe that God came down from heaven as Jesus, who died and rose again, so that we can have eternal life with him, just so long as we believe. This means that Christianity is a religion based off of our relationship with God, the one that saved us from death, rather than just following the rules. The fruits of the Spirit, making God happy, which makes you happy, simply the ability to call the creator of everything friend, God granting favor for those who serve him, take your pick. But suffice to say, there's enough benefits to having a better relationship with Jesus that any way possible to have a better relationship with Jesus is valid. John 15:11, Jesus says this, these things I have spoken to you, that my joy may be in you, and that your joy may be full. Jesus grants us joy. But how can we have that joy if we don't listen to him? How can we as Christians claim to be close to him if we don't listen what he has to say? Living a life in the pursuit of a close relationship with God, although it definitely has its low points, the good will be a good you've never experienced before. Now I'll be honest and say, I didn't really read the Bible all that much before studying this passage at home or in my free time. When I realized this passage reflected the necessity of God's word, I knew preaching on this would be hard for me. It's a good thing that I'm preaching off of God's infinite wisdom and not mine, or this would be a really short sermon. However, there is one other time in my life that I was close to the word. It was the second time I preached. I remember the night I had finally sat down and started to really look into the word I was going to preach on. I may have procrastinated a little bit, but it was new to me. The different color highlighting and looking the words in the original language. But man, was it invigorating. It was Romans chapter 6, and that night I knew more about Jesus' sacrifice and the gospel than I knew what to do with. I started with the highlighters, and then I grabbed the pen, and I started drawing lines and notes, and eventually I knew what I was going to preach about. I knew the ins and outs of that chapter. That night, I ran out the door, and before my parents could respond to me telling them I was going for a walk, I was gone. I paced that neighborhood circle for a really long time, a sense of euphoria coursing through me. I was floating, a joy I've never experienced before. It was inhuman. It was like I was on drugs. But I had total control. I wasn't impaired or anything. It was just joy. That joy could have only come from God. The truth. The beautiful truth of the gospel. I've never felt such a pull from God, such a presence. The good God can give you, you can't get from anywhere else. You can try, but God fills that hole better than anything else could. Verse 14, in the ways of your testimonies I delight, as much as in all riches. God's word has a power. God's word restores your way. So, yeah, you can read the word. And yes, the word has a lot of power, but how do we diligently study the word? How do we get to the point where we can read the Bible more than just in church, but at home, where we are all the best at procrastinating? Well, let's see what the word says. Looking at Psalm 119, 9 through 16, the psalmist lays out the answer for us. Verse 10, the psalmist seeks God. Later in verse 10 and 12, he asks and requests for God's diligence and wisdom respectfully. Verse 11, he has stored up God's word in his heart. And in verse 12, he worships God. And then the psalmist in verses 13 and 14 delight in God. So that's what we should do. My first subpoint, seek. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. Your first step, seek God. It's simple, but many people in this room go to church but never seek God outside of church. Some are even avoiding God here. These are usually the kids that are forced to go and are paying attention. I've been there. Sorry, Dad. Even those that are just curious about Christianity are seeking more than them. Take that first step. Go to a Bible study or join a reading Bible reading plan. Jesus has taken all the right steps for you. You just need to take one step by choosing him. God's word restores your way. My next point, ask. Proverbs 3, 5 through 6 says, trust in the Lord with all your heart and do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him and he will make straight your paths. This is one of the scriptures William depended on to make his point of it's okay to question. Note that even the experienced and wise psalmist in verses 10 and 12 asks and requests for faithfulness and wisdom, no matter what level we are on, either a 40-plus lead pastor with an amazing beard or being a young, inexperienced Christian with an amazing beard. We all rely on God for us to do or have any good. James 1:17. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights, with whom there are no variation or shadows due to change. Only by us relying on God can we get to a place of diligent study. Ask him, pray. God's word restores your way. I keep saying our. My next point, store. Please don't interpret the previous point as an excuse to not do any actual work because God hasn't willed me to read the Bible yet. Yeah, and God hasn't willed me to do my homework doesn't get me an A in IB history. I guess the teacher wasn't Christian. We may have our hearts stored in heaven, but to be a part of God's plan and to grow closer to him, we need to actively choose God over our sinful comfort. Verse 11 says that the act of storing God's word in our hearts aids him from keeping from sinning. Makes sense. It's hard to follow the rules without knowing what the rules are. You can't get the deep wisdom, complexities, and beautiful truths of the Bible from simply kind of listening every Sunday. God wants you to know him. God wants you to go to him, and sin is the opposite direction. How will we further our relationship with God if we don't listen to him? Don't wait for a voice in your head, though some have the luck of God speaking to them in that sort of direct way, but not everyone does. He's already sent you a message, and it's one really long text. My next point is worship. A natural response to reading the word is worship. Understanding the sacrifices God has made for us, the gifts he has given us of just how good he has placed in us and continues to restore us results in a cycle of growth. Note verses 11 and 12. The psalmist is dedicated to the word, praises him, causing him to want to know more. Worship, keep in mind, is more than just singing every Sunday. My notes say singing off pitch, but you guys did really good this week, so I can't say that. To quote an incredibly credible source, what is worship? Life, because we were born to worship God. Vinny Grassi, my 9-year-old little brother. Very wise. Professing the joy God brings us changes our core values for the better to want to seek God more. God's word restores your way. Delight. The psalmist in verses 13 and 14 is acknowledging a truth about God and delighting in that truth. Verse 13 is the truth that all good pastors know. It's not the pastor's knowledge, but God's word that can really bring people to God and restore us. The psalmist is admitting that God is using him to spread the word, and he delights in it, evident in verse 14. In the same way, our understanding of God's truth produces delight, not just reading, but allowing that truth to marinate into us where the true joy of God's word really shines. God's word restores your way. My next point, restores. Even though we understand the power of God's word, we still have to deal with sin. As I mentioned earlier, our way of life can easily be compared to a path. Sometimes there's a rut in our path. We go backwards into sin, and shame pushes us forward to try and get away from that sin, only for sin to push us back again, a rut. It was shame that drove Adam and Eve back into the bushes when they heard God coming. How do we get out of this rut? I've been wondering this question for a long time. Porn has been a foothold for Satan to hold on to for me. The vice that has always hindered my path for a really long time. A rut doesn't necessarily mean porn. It could be any sin. Any sin bumps your way. But porn is prominent and a common rut, especially, but not exclusively, to young Christians. There are only two times I've made significant progress in moving forward from this rut. The last time I preached at my youth group, and in preparation of this sermon. Writing sermons isn't necessarily the right answer for moving forward. My first sermon, I made no headway. The first time I preached, although I think I did good, I didn't go into a passage and truly marinate with God's word. There is a common factor between preparation for this sermon and my last sermon. Both times present in my life was God's word. God's word is the only and most effective way of restoring our path. God's word restores your way. My next point, your way. Enter by the narrow gate. This is Jesus talking. For the gate is wide and the way is easy. That leads to destruction. And those who enter by it are many. For the gate is narrow and the way is hard. That leads to life. And those who find it are few. This is one of the scriptures I came across as I began my journey into the Word this week. When I chose God's word at home, choosing God, God's word specifically, it's difficult, but it's life. God's word restores your way. Choosing Jesus is life. Jesus says in John 14:6, Jesus said to him, I am the way, and I am the truth, and I am the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Something interesting about the Psalms is that Psalm 1, Psalm 19, and Psalm 119 are all about God's word. That coupled with the fact that Psalms 2, Psalms 20, and Psalms 120 through 134 are all about Jesus. To quote John Steilheimer, it is as if the composer of the Psalms were telling the readers that that if they search in the scriptures, they will find Christ. Quite literally, God's word points to Jesus. Jesus says this himself in John 5:39. You search the scriptures because you think that in them you will have eternal life. And it is they that bear witness about me. It is fruitless to study the scriptures if you miss Jesus in all of it, because it is he who walked our path for us perfectly, with no ruts and no tripping. Earlier I said that the word pure in verse 9 means justified. As Christians, we are justified by faith through Jesus Christ, life, death, and resurrection, that all our ruts have been forgiven. And all our ruts will eventually be removed, and a true path, one of freedom, forgiveness, righteousness, holiness, peace, and ultimately delight, will be the one we walk. It all starts by choosing him. God's word points to Jesus. Jesus is life. God's word restores your way. These are the last four lines from the poem, The Road Not Taken, by Robert Frost. Somewhere, ages and ages hence, two roads diverge in a wood, and I took the one less traveled by, and that has made all the difference. the narrow way, the difficult way, the one less traveled by, is Jesus. If you don't know Jesus, you're invited. You're invited to have a relationship with him, to spend eternal life with him. If you do know him, allow his word to restore your way. Let's pray. Jesus, I pray for life. For the people in this room, I pray that they would choose your word, that they would experience life through you, God, that they would find Jesus in the word, Lord. Lord, I pray for fruit of just getting to know you, God, and getting close to you, Lord. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.